I welcome you to PBS Western Reserve's podcast series, Best Practices for Closing the Pandemic Learning Gap in Ohio's Schools. The podcast series will take a deeper dive on how our educators are dealing with the learning gap created by the pandemic with our high school students that are thinking about moving into either college or the workforce with panelists from our earlier webinar. I'm excited about our podcast series and the deeper dive info each of these podcasts will bring to our main subject. Hi, everyone. My name is Jeff Good. I'm the Chief Education Technology Officer for PBS Western Reserve, and we're just so fortunate to have received funding for this project through the Broadcast Educational Media Commission in collaboration with the Ohio Department of Education. So let's begin with our best practices for closing the pandemic learning gap for Ohio school students with an aspiration for maybe college or a career with a conversation with Josh Kramer, Education and Workforce Director for America Makes. Josh joined the National Center for Defense Manufacturing and Machining, I actually had to look that up, the NCDMM, in 2018 as the Education and Workforce Director for America Makes, providing overall program leadership responsibility for all America Makes education and workforce initiatives. Previous, Josh served as the Director of Educational Programs at the SME Education Foundation. He also served for a time as the Interim Executive Director of the Foundation. Prior to joining the SME Education Foundation, Josh was the Director of School Engagement Eastern Region for Project Lead the Way, a nonprofit organization that provides a transformative learning experience for pre-K to 12 students and teachers across the U.S. Specifically, Project Lead the Way empowers students to develop in-demand, transportable knowledge and skills through pathways in computer science, engineering, and biomedical science. Josh holds a master's in education and a bachelor of science in industrial technology, bachelor of science in education from California University of Pennsylvania, as well as an associate's degree in engineering education from Penn State University. Josh, welcome so much to your time for this podcast. And we're just excited to talk about what all America Makes does for our students in high school.
Yeah, and Jeff, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored and blessed to be with you here today, and blessed to be able to do this work and impact students across what we call our graded K to gray spectrum. So obviously, we're working all the way down in the early levels of K-12, and then working all the way up, not only in reskilling and upskilling mainstream adults and incumbent workers in the manufacturing environment, but also working very closely with our Department of Defense and our warfighters out there and our civilians across the DoD ecosystem as well.
So what are some of the programs, as we talked about how we're working with our high school students and they're making that transition, or it's those students that, you know, are going to make their move to college or they're going to make their move into a career. What are some roles that America Makes in your role in implementing that with these students that are, you know, experiencing a little bit of a learning gap due to the pandemic?
Yeah, and Jeff, for those that don't know America Makes is our national innovation institute focused on additive manufacturing. Many folks know that as 3D printing. We were set up by the Obama administration in 2012. We are the first of the innovation institutes. There are now 16 brothers and sisters around the United States. And those that can do some common core math as we're talking with schools will know this is our 10th anniversary. So this is a 10th birthday for us. We're having a big event right in Youngstown, Ohio, to celebrate our 10th birthday coming up in August and those kind of things. But, you know, the Manufacturing Institute, Innovation Institute is really here as a public-private partner. So our goal is working with not only industry and companies and these, you know, what we would call members, right? They're the folks that are out there driving these types of things. But we're also partnered not only with the federal government, the state government, the local government as well. So you have this public-private partnership. And so when the pandemic hit, you know, it was a big call to action for us at America Makes. And so, in our mission to drive the adoption and maturation of additive manufacturing in the U.S. to continue to drive competitiveness in manufacturing, obviously that's a pretty loud siren for us, right? Because the pandemic hits, it changes the way that students are now what their learning environment looks like, you know, and again, I'm overseeing the educational workforce side, right? Obviously, we saw a huge response from additive manufacturing to the pandemic in general, right? As an agile manufacturing technology that can manufacture many things from many, materials and many uses. You know, you had folks that yesterday were printing one thing and today needed to shift and print another thing, right? And so that agile manufacturing was super responsive, and we actually were part of a large effort with the federal government in the response to PPE equipment, as well as a number of supply chain issues in the United States and access to those things. From the educational workforce side of things, you know, we were very responsive to ensure that students had access to content, access to programs. We were actually moving already towards dynamic e-learning and these immersive experiences that are still problem-based, project-based, making sure that students still were learning competencies that were aligned and driven to industry needs and wants. And so for us, it was kind of just a ratchet up and a scale up of these activities that we continue to see thriving, here today and across, Ohio, Northeast Ohio, those kind of things. So obviously that's, backyard for us. It's critically important, to engage with the local ecosystem here in Ohio.
You talk a bit about that. I think we've overused the word pivot, but I still love the word. So you've talked about how America Makes had to do a pivot as far as moving into those e-learning environments for your students. What were some other, I hate to use the term positive effects of the pandemic, but what were some things that you learned along the way that you had to move, that you also pivoted in some of your programs and had to make that change?
Yeah, and I think some of that, and one of the things that I often talk about, Jeff, is, we want to make sure that we meet every learner where they learn, how they learn. And that's critically important to our mission and our strategy and again, educational workforce development, right? And so when we talk K to grade, in our superhighway, and we talk about every learner, how they learn, where they learn, it's very important that we can meet those learners in all environments, right? And I think COVID taught us something where it was, we were kind of caught off guard and not prepared to really embrace e-learning the way that we almost were forced to. And though I'm a huge advocate to the face-to-face environment and learning in that way, there will always be situations where that's not optimal. Or it's not an opportunity that can be pursued. So what we need to do is come up with creative ways on how we can approach those and make learning immersive. And so sometimes there's a number of technologies that we can employ to do that. But we need to make sure that the rigor's there. We need to make sure that for example, all of our programs align and map back to something we call the additive manufacturing body of knowledge. The reason we anchor all of those in those places is because that's kind of the lighthouse that industry and defense say, these are the competencies. These are the things, the knowledge, skills, and abilities that we need not only youth to know, but adults to know. And so, and not only do they have to be able to know, they have to be able to perform these kind of tasks. And so we make sure we anchor that in that rigor of the body of knowledge. And candidly, it goes from everything from micro learning and being able to drive awareness and create inspiration. But then it also goes, into full scale programs and content curricula, teacher training programs, principal and counselor training programs, all the way to industry recognized credentialed programs as well. So we see all of this as a career pathway, right? Some folks choose to go to college in that career pathway. Many students choose to start their career right out of high school, which is absolutely, a successful pathway. And so there are many careers right out of high school that have an excellent wage, that are excellent career opportunities, and allow someone else to cover that continued training and those kind of things that may need to happen as well. So, for us, it was about making sure the rigor stayed there, making sure that the competencies were aligned to these. And I think the biggest thing was scaling this stuff out so that educators knew that America Makes was standing by with resources, ready to help and assist where they needed it, and where we could, potentially bring in some even new content, because we saw a lot of educators looking for dynamic ways to make learning, you know, kind of real and relevant, you know, now that they were kind of disconnected from those school environments that they knew or were, you know, kind of anchored in so much.
You know, I know prior to the pandemic, schools were in the process of putting together business advisory councils. And so what's the connection with what you're doing with, and what were the importance of those business advisory councils for you, you know, in 2019 and now in 2022?
Yeah, and I think it's one thing we've learned, right? Not only the education climate change, but as I think everyone in this country is aware, you drive down Main Street USA, you drive down the interstate, it really doesn't matter where you're at. You see a help wanted sign. You see a not hiring sign. And so I think what we've seen is, you know, a heightened awareness to this, you know, what we knew internally and kind of the small family that was the manufacturing sector in this country knew we had a skills gap problem. We knew that we had a mismatch of skills in 2019. And so I think what we're seeing in 2022 is now we're starting to see, wait a minute, that skills gap spilled over into all of the sectors. And so not only do we see a shortage of available talent to fill roles, everything from the service industry to the grocery store, including the manufacturing sector, we see everyone's kind of hitting that struggle of talent. But in the manufacturing environment, you know, it's something we've been dealing with since 2019. I think one of the things that at least heightened the awareness of is the supply chain issues, right? And so we can kind of joke and laugh about the toilet paper issue that happened and everyone, you know, running out of toilet paper. I think that's, you know, a clear example that everyone can at least laugh about. But if you go to buy a new car and you drive past the car dealership and you're like, well, there's not, you know, you drive past the Chevy dealership and you're like, well, there's no Chevys, you know, or whatever it may be, because there's supply chain issues and there's a number of things, right? Whether it's the microprocessor chips or whether it's foam for seats or whether it's one specific part that's holding up the production of that vehicle. I think everyone now has a little bit of a heightened awareness to, you know, manufacturing and the competitiveness of manufacturing in our nation. And the need to ensure that we have security in our supply chain. And so it's one of these things that as I sit here in June of 22, I hope it's a lesson that we don't forget. I hope it's something that we remember that we need to have a strong and thriving manufacturing sector here in the country. We need to talk to youth, obviously, and even mainstream adults about the opportunity to transition into the sector. And really talk a lot about the careers and the opportunities that exist in those roles. One of the things that we've been doing over the last number of months is building what we call a guide to 21st century talent. And we're working with over 30 small and medium manufacturers in Northeast Ohio, including economic organizations, academic institutions, workforce orgs, community-based organizations, you name it. To build this kind of how-to guide of what does the talent look like in the region? You know, how do I recruit? How do I onboard? How do I build strong culture? How do I build work and learn opportunities? How do I build progressive training models? You know, how do I retain workers? And so it's one of those things where, you know, we as an industry, you know, kind of need to rise to the challenge and realize that in 2022, you know, our workforce is different. And, you know, when we look back at 2019, you know, pre-pandemic, you know, it was even different than it was after the pandemic, you know, so even though we say, hey, it's the guide to 21st century talent, it really kind of changes. If we built this guide in 2019, it would be different than if we built it in 2022. And so, you know, in a way, I think it'll be even better. And we've had a great response and we're looking forward to doing the first deployment of that training and workshopping here in August.
So you talk a bit about the employers' differences and what their needs were from 2019 to 2022. What's your observation of the changing needs of our high school students that are moving into maybe college, maybe a career, from the needs that they they required in 2019, and now those needs and how they've changed for 2022. What are the differences you're seeing in those students?
I think one of the things, and again, it's just more anecdotal data than anything, right, is we're seeing more students that I think have more of an open mind. I don't think, at least I can say anecdotally, you know, we've seen kind of a little bit of a lull or a drop in attendance of four-year institutions, right? And I think to many folks over the pandemic, you know, when they were charged with, hey, I learned from home instead of going to class and those kind of things, especially in a university or college model, I think, you know, students and parents alike started to think about, well, you know, this costs a lot of money. And so the opportunity. And so I think that, again, it was an opportunity where folks can reassess and kind of step back and zoom out and look at the whole picture and think about, you know, what are the next steps and what is the best use of this time? And we saw a lot of students that, you know, kind of maybe took a year off of school, you know, and because they weren't sure what, you know, am I going to be in class? Am I going to be out of class? Are we going to be virtual? You know, is the campus going to be shut down and those kind of things? And so I think we saw a lot of that kind of yo-yo in attendance, you know, and registration at the college and university levels. And so I think one of the things that maybe has come out of that is again, kind of a zoom out widening of the lens of the opportunity and how to gain those opportunities. And so one of the things I think we're starting to see is an opportunity to, again, I'll point back to this, you know, every learner, where they learn, how they learn is, you know, and it's one of the reasons we focused in micro learning, right? Because we want to make sure that we're tailoring or focusing on competencies. And the reason for that is that some of these students are graduating with a lot of competency across a wide range, but I want to focus in on where they need that very specific training component, where they need that very specific skill set. And if we can pinpoint that, focus that in micro learning, then we have an opportunity to introduce them to a number of job roles in the industry and then have a number of opportunities and then align that with some deeper dive training. And some of that happens. We're launching a great program with Eastern Gateway Community College that will build a lot of these, you know, kind of deep dive training programs that are, again, more non-traditional in approach. We've also teamed up with General Motors and the reinvestment program here in Northeast Ohio to focus on underserved communities, historically, you know, underserved communities and populations where we can focus into going to those communities and talking about opportunities to enter the pathways and those kind of things. And so the skill sets have changed a little bit, right? But we want to make sure that we're responsive to align an opportunity for these folks to step into the industry specifically, where they're at, and the opportunity to continue to train and learn there as well. So you don't always have to be, you know, the perfect neat package that has all of the right things day one. You know, there's a lot of opportunity to continue to upskill, you know, within a company and within the sector as well.
Josh, you talked a bit about, and obviously the podcasts are related to our webinar that we talked about, meeting those needs of those high school students that are contemplating college or contemplating a career. But obviously you've made the term, you've used the term K to gray. So for our listeners out there, what are some programs maybe at the middle school level or at the elementary school level that you're embarking on and integrating along with those programs that focus with our high school students?
Yeah, and thanks for noting that, Jeff. I mean, you know, we really look at this as a pathway. It's an opportunity for us to articulate, you know, what are the steps that we need to take into a successful career path. And so I think most folks are chasing self-wealth, right? And self-wealth is different to a lot of people. And to some people, it is the paycheck. To some people, it's work-life balance. To others, it's the societal impact of a company or the social investment that happens, or, you know, it's the car they drive, the clothes they wear, whatever that may be, right? And so in doing that, it's all a chase to career. It's just the path of how you get to that career. Some people choose to go to community college. Some people choose to go right out of high school. Some people choose to go to universities. You know, it's all a career path. And so we very much look at that all the way down to the K, the elementary, right? And why do we do that? Because research shows that, that students, young students, are choosing whether they like math or science, which as we know, a STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. Strong math and science is important, but they're making that determination of whether they like that in second to third grade. And so if we come in with something that's accessible and fun and really engaging and can inspire people like additive manufacturing can and 3D printing can, then we have an opportunity to create that inspiration and create that spark really early. And so, you know, we've done things, we've collaborated with the Girl Scouts, you know, specifically again here, the Girl Scouts of Northeast Ohio. We created the first additive manufacturing patch that Girl Scouts and Girl Scout chapters, not only across Ohio, but across the whole United States. We're actually launching another version of that patch in Utah with the Utah Girl Scouts as well. And so we start way down that chain, and we do that with micro learning. We do that with micro credentials as well, so that we're showing a rigor and we're showing an opportunity to stack credentials all the way through high school pathways and into community colleges, universities, and to adults, and even into the Department of Defense. But we're also doing things like inspiration programs. And so we have what we call the Teams Toolkit, which is the toolkit for encouraging additive manufacturing in middle school students. And it's all focused, you know, to drive something that's real, that's relevant, that's hands-on with students. We launched a couple of these programs this spring across Northeast Ohio. We have over a dozen programs launching this fall across middle schools, all across the Northeast Ohio region, as well as nationally as well. But I know our audience will be, you know, Northeast Ohio. And we've also done things, you know, with what we call Additive Edge. And Additive Edge is really this entrepreneurial approach to inspiring students around awareness of additive manufacturing. We have some things around workplace competencies and how do I engage on social media? You know, what are good job interview skills? You know, those kind of things, and working in teams and building on some of those kind of, you know, communication and problem solving. But it's all around coming up with a solution to a problem, working with manufacturers in your community to solve that problem, and then coming up with a business model to scale that idea. And it's all based around additive manufacturing as well. And we just launched one of the very first ones. This is a new program coming out this past spring. We just launched one with a group of middle schools here in the Youngstown region. And we'll continue to spool that again across a dozen schools or more here in the fall, and then another round in the spring of 23, and those kind of things. And we're also launching a really cool site called amjobs.org that talks about the people in the industry. Because many times, you know, folks are like, what are these jobs like? What do these people do? What do you do all day? You know, and what are the things that you're passionate about? What are your hobbies and interests? And we really want folks to see themselves in these roles and understand that, you know, it's not just a technician. It's not just an engineer. There is a variety of roles, you know, candidly over 100 job roles in additive manufacturing. And there are a lot of different competencies that align to those. And so that's a lot of the work we do to try to build that, you know, information, to build that awareness piece. And again, it's not just students. We have to engage educators in that conversation. We have to engage counselors and principals, you know, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, brother, sister, you name it. You know, we're focused on that entire kind of decision-making, you know, family group, you know, core team, you know, as we always say, it takes a village. We want to make sure we're talking to all the villagers, you know, in that, you know, to really drive a cohesive message.
Josh, thank you so much for being part of our Deeper Dive series of podcasts, focusing on how our school districts are dealing with the pandemic learning gap facing students across grade bands. We appreciate you, the listener of these podcasts, taking your time to learn about these innovative approaches Ohio educators are integrating to help lessen those learning gaps. We appreciate the support of the Broadcast Educational Media Commission, in collaboration with the Ohio Department of Education in funding these webinars and podcasts related to our subject. We hope you take the time to check out pbswesternreserve.org under the education section from our podcasts and resources related to our Closing the Pandemic Learning Gap webinar series. Josh, once again, thank you so much for your time. And listeners, thank you so much for listening.
And thank you.